Likutei Halachos, we're in Ora Chaim, Chelek Sheni, Hilchos Birchos HaPeiros, Halacha Hey, and we're in the middle of Ois Tes Zayin. We're up to the sub-paragraph, Kidin HaMekalel. Before we begin, we dedicate the shir today, Le'iloi Nishmas, Reb Menachem Aharon ben Zalman Michel, the father of a close friend, Avram Weisberg, Zichron Avracha, and also for a complete refuah and yeshua for all those that need it, B'soich Shar Chol Yisrael. We were up to a part in this halacha where Rav Nosson Zal mentioned the four halachos which Moshe Rabbeinu forgot or were hidden from him, and he had to consult with Hashem to resolve a question. And Rav Nosson Zal mentioned them in the beginning of this paragraph. They were the law regarding someone who blasphemizes Hashem, someone who curses Hashem, the law of the person who gathered wood on Shabbos, the law regarding people who are tamei on Pesach and cannot bring the Korban Pesach, the mitzvah Pesach Sheni, and the law regarding a person who passes away without having any sons, what happens to their inheritance regarding the daughters. Rav Nosson Zal mentioned this topic, and he said that this is tied into chapter 6 in Likutei Moran, which we've been focusing on this part of the halacha, about the aleph, the upper part of the aleph, the lower part of the aleph, and the middle that connects it. And we mentioned many different things that it represents. One of them was the three mitzvahs that Hashem told the Jews we have to fulfill upon entering Eretz Yisrael, which are eradicating Amalek, appointing a king, and building the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us the connection between these four halachos and the Aleph, Torah Vav, and everything we've been speaking about. And in the process, he's going to clarify many things. Kidin HaMekalel, the law regarding a person who chas v'shoses Hashem, ze b'chinas lahachris zaroi shel Amalek. That corresponds to eradicating all the descendants of Amalek. Shehoyo koifer be'ikor. Amalek was a person who completely denied Hashem, a total atheist. Shehu b'chinas hamekalel. That's also the case of a person who blasphemizes Hashem. Shecheref v'gideif. He cursed and insulted just like Amalek did. Moshe lo yodam al asay simoy. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what to do with this person. Why? What's the question? Ki be'emes ikar avoidas Moshe v'chol hatzadikim amitim shem b'chinas Moshe. The most important work of the Tzadik Emes, Moshe Rabbeinu, and anyone like him is to be able to take the lowest of the low and connect it to the top. Meaning to bring light even to the lowest places. Lehispalel aleihem, to pray for them, ularachem aleihem, and to have pity on them, uleshtadel imohem lekare voisam gamken lashem yisborach, and to put in tremendous effort to try to bring them also close to Hashem. We have the case of Avram Avinu, who was praying, negotiating with Hashem for Sedoim and Amoira. We have the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, who prayed for the Jews after we worship the golden calf, after the Meraglim, after time and time again, we disappointed Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem himself said, let me destroy them and start over. And Moshe Rabbeinu never gave in to that. Always defending us, defending the worst of the worst. U'bishvil zeh heim soivlim bizyoinois u'shvichas domim harbe. And it's because of this mission that the Tzadik Emes has, him and the people that are close to him, that's why he and they suffer these insults and having their blood spilled. Hakol b'shvil lekarev kulam l'Hashem Yisborach. It's all part of this incredibly important mission of bringing everyone close to Hashem. Kemo sheroinu eich Moshe mosar nafshoy achar cheto egel v'spalo bad Yisroel v'hitzilam mikloya chasashon. As we see in the Torah, how Moshe Rabbeinu put his life on the line. He said to Hashem, kill me. After we were involved in the sin of the golden calf, and he was mispalo for us, and he saved us from being annihilated. Kama shekosuv, as it says in Tehillim, Lule Moshe Bechiroi Omad Baperetz. Were it not for Moshe Rabbeinu, the choicest tzaddik, the chosen one of Hashem, who stood up and defended us when the fence was broken. Note, today is the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, Zayin Ador, and Hashem has given us this gift that we're focusing purely on Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole shiur today is about Moshe Rabbeinu, Zchusa Yogan Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael. Al Kein Lo Yoda Moshe Ma'alasoisim Amekalel. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do with this person who blasphemized Hashem. Ki ulai tzrichin laharich afal of damkein. Maybe we have to show patience and withhold the anger even from him. Bifrat shehoyo ben ish mitzri, especially since this mekalel was the child of a mitzri who forced himself upon a Jewish woman. This is the mitzri whom Moshe Rabbeinu had killed. Sheharogoi Moshe choydem hazman, whereby Moshe Rabbeinu killed that Egyptian before the right time, v'shogobozeh, and Moshe Rabbeinu committed an error in this, v'neschayev golus. And just like a person who kills someone accidentally has to go into exile, Moshe Rabbeinu received a penalty of exile, kamuva, as is brought in the Medrash, al posuk oz yavdil Moshe sholosh orim ho'ele, that then Moshe Rabbeinu had to designate three cities first, three cities of Ir Miklat outside of Eretz Yisrael, cities of refuge, and three in Eretz Yisrael. There's a pasuk there that says, Asher Yonus Shomo Horoitzeach. That's where a murderer would run to save himself from the wrath of the family. The word Shama is the letters Moshe, and the Arizal speaks about this. Al kein hoya mesupokato malasos. This is what caused Moshe Rabbeinu to have a question about what to do with this mekalel. Ad shohidio Hashem Yisborach, until Hashem himself informed Moshe Rabbeinu, shechayev skila, that this person needs to be put to death by stoning. Ki afal pi shetzrichin lishtoik al bizyoinoi. Because even though it's very important and it's one of the highest forms of tshuva, when a person is silent, when someone is insulting you personally, aval al bizyoin Hashem yisborach. However, when a person is insulting Hashem, Shemacharef u'megadef kol kach, he's cursing in such a way, tzrichim linkoin boy b'chol ma'adefsher. We have to avenge the honor of Hashem in whatever way is possible. Va'al zeh ne'amar, and it's about this that the pasuk says, Eile osiso v'hecherashti, dimiso heyois ehye kamoicho. Hashem says, you did this and I was silent. You thought I was playing Ekye like you. However, I don't have to play Ekye. I don't have to do tshuva. A human being who has committed all kinds of wrongdoings and everything has to do tshuva. And a major part of the tshuva process is being insulted and embarrassed and being able to take it in silence. So the pasuk says, Hashem says, you did this. You did terrible things against me, Chas V'Shalom, and I was silent. And you thought, Dimisa, you thought I was performing Ekye like you. I was doing this Ekye, this tshuva I will be, like we explained in the previous year. However, that's not the case at all. Oichichacho ve'ercho le'enecho. I will rebuke you, and I'll get you in front of your eyes. Meaning Hashem says, I'll get you at the right time. Very likely in the next world. In this world, you won't necessarily see the full punishment, Chas V'Shalom. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal brings this pasuk to remind us that we're supposed to be silent when we're being insulted personally. But if we're present and someone is insulting Hashem, or someone is insulting a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, then if the person is silent, they're committing a very, very serious sin. We mentioned in the past the case of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who, when he passed away, they saw a hole behind his ear that a worm had was able to bore a hole in him. And when asked what this was all about, they were told because he was present when a Talmud Chacham was being insulted and he was silent. Any questions, please?
It's going on.
It's Hashem speaking. Hashem is saying, you did this, you insulted me, and I was silent. And I was silent. Dimisa, you thought I'm playing Ekia, I'm playing the Ekia game, that I want to do tshuva, and I want, you know, and the tshuva process means being insulted and being silent. Forget that. I'm Hashem, don't forget. So that it's not like that at all. I'll rebuke you at the time that I choose. When I choose, you'll get the full patch that you deserve. Chas v'shalom. V'din ha-mekoshesh. Now we come to the mekoshesh, the person who was caught, violating Shabbos, gathering wood. Shepogam b'Shabbos. Rav Nosson Zal says, now remember, destroying the descendants of Amalek, that corresponded to the lower part of the Aleph. We mentioned, Rav Nosson Zal mentions this over there on the Likutei Moran in Torah Vav, and Rav Nosson Zal made reference to this earlier also. Now we come to the Mekoshesh, who was Poigim in Shabbos. Ze Bechinas Pegam Nekudo Ha'elyoina. This refers to committing a sin, committing a wrong against the upper part of the Aleph. Shehu Bechinas Tshuva, which represents Tshuva. Shehu Bechinas Shabbos, which is associated with Shabbos. As Rabbi Nizal writes, the commandment in the Torah to do tshuva is v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha, you will return to Hashem. And the word shavta is the letters Shabbos. So Shabbos is a time for tshuva. We know that during the 6 days of the week, unfortunately, we're not connected to Hashem as strongly as on Shabbos. So when Shabbos comes, the Shulchan Aruch mentions this, that on Erev Shabbos, part of the preparation for Shabbos is supposed to be spending a few moments in tshuva. That now I'm coming to the end of the week, and I'm reviewing a little bit what I did during the week, and I know it wasn't as good as it should have been or could have been, and the person has to think thoughts of tshuva at that time on Erev Shabbos and going into Shabbos. And Shabbos itself is a time of tshuva. That if during the week I was very busy, I didn't have as much time to learn as I would have wanted to, I couldn't concentrate on my davening as much because during the week there's all kinds of distractions. Shabbos is a much more spiritual, a much more connected to Hashem. I can try to do a sincere tshuva. Ki Shabbos hu bechinas keser. Because we know that Shabbos is associated with keser. On Musaf, on Shabbos, we say keser yitnu lecho Hashem alekeinu. Bechinas kvoi delekin haster dovor, which is what Rabbi Nizal refers to over there in chapter 6 in Likutei Moran, as to that highest form of kavod, divine kavod, which is hidden, like the keser, which is hidden. Bechinas sisrei Torah, like the secrets of Torah, which are hidden. And the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that one of the best times to study secrets of Torah, to study the Zohar HaKodesh and Kabbalah, for those who can, is on Shabbos. Bechinas oiraisa da atiko stima, referring to the hidden secrets of Torah, the highest level of Torah. Shekol zehu bechinas nekudo helyoina. All of this corresponds to that upper part of the Aleph, shehu bechinas kisei, which also corresponds to the throne of Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal says over there in Likutei Moran, demiskasya. The word kisei means throne. The word kisei also means covered up, lechasois, the throne of Hashem, which represents this keser, this hidden light. So that was the second halacha, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what should be done with this person. And now we come to number three, v'din Pesach Sheni, the revelation of the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. Ze bechinas habusha ushfichas domim shetzrichen lisboil. This refers to that shame and embarrassment that we spoke about that a person has to endure in order to connect the lower part of the Aleph to the upper part, in order for the student to connect with the rabbi. This represents that diagonal line in middle of the Aleph that connects upper and lower, which corresponds to the heaven. in which the sun and the moon are united. Kama shekosuf sham, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likutei Moran, Torah Vav. Ki elu hu anoshim shehayu tmeim lenefesh adam v'lo yochlu la'asos ha-pesach, because those people who had become tamei as a result of coming into contact with dead bodies, and because of that, they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach, shebo lishol, and they came to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, lomo nigora, why should we be excluded? Why should we be left out? Elu shalu kohagen. Their question was legitimate, was a proper question. Even though you would think logically, what do you mean why you left? It's obvious, because you're tamei, and a tamei person can't bring a korban, right? V'tiknu boze harbe ma'oi. And these people accomplished an incredible tikkun by coming and asking this question. Ki nizgalgel zchus al yodam, because there was incredible merit that was revealed through them, a tremendous benefit for Klal Yisrael. Shenizgala al yidei zeh lemoshe din Pesach sheni. Because of them, Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu a whole chapter in the Torah about the law of Pesach Sheni, a second Pesach, a makeup, Shehu Tikun Godol, which is a tremendous Tikun, Shehu Bechinas Hamshochas Derech HaTshuvanal. And this is an example of drawing the path of Tshuva into the world. Kize Iker Shleimus HaTshuva. Because this is an example of real perfect tshuva. What's the example? Shafilu kisheroye ha'odam esatzmoy shurochoik moed ma'ashim yisborach. Meaning that even when a person sees clearly that they're far from Hashem, that they've committed many sins and done terrible things, which have set up barriers between them and Hashem and have pushed them back away from Hashem. Vitum osoy olav mimaisav haroim. And the person knows that there's tumah on them. They're impure as a result of their bad deeds. Afal pikein yechazek esatzmoy. Despite that, the person has to get up the guts and strengthen themselves. Veyovoy bekido vehachno lifnei hatzadik ho'emes v'lifnei Hashem Yisborach. And to come with complete submission, bowing your head, and humbling yourself before the true tzaddik and before Hashem, the yishal al nafshoy, and to plead on your behalf, like these people who were tamei came and pleaded, lo moni gora, why should we be left out, lahakrivas korban Hashem, from bringing the korban, this special korban, this annual korban to Hashem. Every single one of us has to come with this same argument, with the same plea to Hashem and to the tzaddik. If the person knows and realizes that they are tamei, that I'm impure now because of my sins, the person has to come and plead. So even if my soul is damaged and it's impure, it's filthy because of my sins, still, loma egora lahakriv korban Hashem, why should I be left out completely from being able to bring a korban? We know there's an example and that a student misbehaves in a class. So some teachers will say, well, expel the student. Out, you're out of the school, you're out, period. And we see the great results that usually brings, unfortunately. But sometimes a teacher will say, you're suspended for the day. Get out of the class, you can't come back today. You're suspended for 3 days, you can't come back to school. But at least to give the person hope that they're not out completely, they're not lost completely, they can come back. Dehainu lehiskarev l'Hashem Yisborach. Asking to be able to bring the korban means the person is asking to be brought close to Hashem. La'asoik b'Torah, to have the privilege of studying Torah, ulehispalel, and to pray, shehu bechinas korbonois. That's also like sacrifices to Hashem. We know that our prayers are in place of the korbonois. Ki bevadai yesh loy tikvo gam kein leskar l'Hashem Yisborach. Because this person who is tamei, and who has committed many sins, also definitely has hope to be able to come close to Hashem. And if a person does this, if a person doesn't quit, they don't give up, they don't leave permanently, va'oz bevada yimtzoloi Hashem yisporach tikun. If a person pleads with Hashem and begs Hashem, I want to come back, I want to be good, Hashem will definitely find a solution for that person, v'yoydia lahatzadik, and Hashem will inform the tzadik, like here, Hashem informed k'moshe hoydia l'moshe, as Hashem informed Moshe Rabbeinu, tikun ha-pesach sheni, this incredible repair that's called Pesach sheni, shehu plia nizgova, which is an incredible, wondrous thing. We don't find this in other places in the Torah. We know there's a general rule in the Torah, ovar zmanai batal karbonai. Everybody knows that. You miss the time, you can't do it. Can you, if you missed Hanukkah, you forgot when Hanukkah was, could you light Hanukkah the week after Hanukkah? A person goes out and buys an esrog, a beautiful $1,000 esrog, and they use it on Hanukkah. They didn't get a chance to use it on Sukkah, so I'm going to use it on Hanukkah. Can you, it's a bracha levatala. So this is an incredible chiddush, this concept of Pesach Sheni. Ki ikar zman ha-Pesach hu rak b'shas yitzias Mitzrayim. Because the actual time for bringing a Korban Pesach and celebrating the holiday of Pesach is when we left Egypt. She'oz dileg Hashem yisporach ala keitz v'golam. That's when Hashem skipped over the actual date that we were supposed to leave Egypt, and Hashem preempted it a couple of hundred years, and he took us out. Ve'oz ikar zman hakrovas ha-Pesach. That's the real time for bringing the Korban Pesach. Val shein ze nikra Pesach, and that's also why it's called Pesach, loshen psicha v'dilug, to skip over, to jump over, that Hashem jumped over the time that we were supposed to remain in Egypt. Ki heir aleim oz he'oron iflo v'kanal, because as we discussed earlier in previous shurim, on that night of Pesach, Hashem shined upon us an incredible bright light, even though we weren't deserving, even though it wasn't the right time. Aval mi shehoya tomei v'loy kerev ha-sapesach b'moyadoi. However, a person who was tomei when that date comes around and did not offer a korban pesach at its right time, eich yizke lahakrev pesachoi. How in the world can he bring a korban pesach at a different time? Aval Hashem yisporach berachamov gilo hasoid lemoshe. Al yedei she'elas hatmeim daika. However, Hashem revealed this secret, this new mitzvah to Moshe Rabbeinu, not on Har Sinai. This was revealed only after these people came pleading, begging. V'hoydi aloyin, Hashem informed Moshe Rabbeinu shehatmeim, that these people who are tamei now, when the Korban Pesach is supposed to be brought, yakrivu pesach sheni be'ior. Bimei Asfira, they'll bring a Korban Pesach on the second date, a month later in Iyar, during the days of Sfiras Omer. Ubozeh choyra lanu derech ha-tshuva. And through this, Hashem was teaching us this path of tshuva, she'ein shum yiyush ba'olam klal, that there is no such thing ever of giving up hope. Ki afal pi she'ovar zman shel ikar ha-tikun. Because even though the person missed out on the date when the main the ultimate date for performing this tikkun of Korban Pesach, v'anachnu tmeim b'maseinu adayin, and unfortunately we're still tamei as a result of our actions and cannot bring the Korban Pesach on its actual date, adayin yesh tikva, there's still hope, afilu shaloi bizmanoi. Even if it's not on the actual date, ki yesh tikunim nifloim v'ne'elomim oi, because there are incredible hidden tikunim, repairs, sheyecholim l'sakin oisanu gam ato, that can repair us, that can fix us, that can help us even now. U'bechol yoim v'yoim, every single day. U'bilvad shelo ne'yayish atzmenu mitzo'oko u'tfilo. On condition that we will not give up we will not refrain from crying out to Hashem and praying to Hashem. Lishol b'chol pam, to ask every day, lo moni gora lahakriv es korban Hashem. Why should I be left out? Why can I not be included in those who are coming close to Hashem? Why can't I also bring korban Hashem? The canal, as we explained before. Any questions, please?
Interesting. They're not saying that through the second tikkun, you actually getting the whole tikkun, the original tikkun. It's still remaining the ikra tikkun as Pesach, but there's what the chal even by the second one.
Exactly. It might not be exactly as good as the first one, but it's pretty serious if it's called Pesach Sheni, and you can bring a korban, an actual korban. A person makes a bracha on an esrog on Hanukkah, you committed that's a major sin. That's bracha levatolah, that's desecrating Hashem's name. Here it's not that, here it's bringing honor to Hashem. It's just, it wasn't at the best time, second best time. There's a second best. You're still in the ring, you're still in the ballpark. Now note, one second, a paragraph before, we said that for this guy, there was no hope. The person who was Michal Shabbos, he had to be put to death. Well, I don't get it. Make up your mind. Which is it? The answer is, remember, when you're learning Likutei Halachos and when you're learning Torah, there are rules and there are rules and there are rules and there are exceptions to every rule also. When we make a statement, there could be exceptions. There are certain lines that a person can cross where the person gets a death penalty. We don't say, no, 1 minute, let him have his spitedus. Let him have a 1 hour his spitedus or a 6 hour his spitedus and it's going to make it all better. No, there are certain cases where that's not the solution. Certain cases where the mitzvah is to kill the person. We have cases in the Chumash, we have cases in the Gemara, where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai looked at a person and the person was dead. They were a pile of bones. Rabbi Yochanan, several cases in the Torah like this. However, so that there are exceptions to every rule, number one. And however, on the other extreme, after a person is dead already, then everybody would agree there's no way to fix anything at that point, right? And we know the answer is wrong, that the tzaddik emes, is so powerful that after a person is dead and buried and goes up to heaven, even there a tzaddik can intercede on their behalf and change the rules completely. The Gemara tells the story of Acher. Remember Acher, who became an apikoiris, he committed murder, niuf. The Gemara says he did terrible, terrible things. And he died, and he was buried. And he was so bad that he didn't even qualify for Gehenna. He wasn't good enough to get into Gehenna. He went nowhere at all. And the Gemara says his student, Rabbi Meir, became aware of this, and he said, I'm not going to allow this to stay this way. That was my Rebbe. He taught me Torah. You'll see when I die, I will succeed in getting him into Gehenna. And sure enough, the Gemara says, smoke came up from the kever of Acher when Rabbi Meir died to show everybody that Rabbi Meir had succeeded in changing the law up in heaven. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan said, 1 minute, one of our buddies, Echad Michavarana, that's the wording in the Gemara, he's part of our chevra, he's connected. He was part of us. We're going to let this stay like this? That everybody sees smoke coming up from his kever? No thanks. When I die, Rabbi Yochanan said, you're going to see the smoke is going to stop. And that's going to be an indication that I took him into Gan Eden. And the Gemara says when they eulogized Rabbi Yochanan, they said that the guards at the entrance to Gehenna knew to step aside when Rabbi Yochanan came for Acher. They didn't say, no, 1 minute, we have a paper here. It says that he belongs in Gehenna. Hold on to your paper, he's with us. If he's with us, there's a solution even in the next world. There can be a tikkun even in the next world. This is a Gemara. This is a Gemara in Chagiga, page 14.
Good morning, Rabbi Nelson. What's different about the Pesach Sheni as opposed to all the other Chagim, all the other times that if you missed it, you didn't. What was so different about this one that we got us another chance?
It's a good question. I don't remember the answer this moment. However, could be because of the fact that the holiday of Pesach especially represents us getting out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, remember, was the epitome of Tumah and everything. We came out of Mitzrayim And during the Sfira, we're going through a purification process, 49 days of purification, of cleansing, in order to prepare ourselves for Shavuos. Pesach is when we started, when we registered as a nation. The first time we registered as a Jewish nation coming out of Egypt, we received our first official mitzvah, which was Kiddush HaChodesh. And then we spent 49 weeks purifying ourselves for Shavuos, to receive the Torah. So that's really the beginning of our relationship, our official relationship with Hashem as a nation. So could be there, that's the place where the Torah wants to show that a person who, we're at the starting gate and this person doesn't qualify to get in. So finish, so they're out, finish, forget about. No, we don't forget about anybody. Not forget. He couldn't start with everybody else, so he'll get off to a late start. We'll get off to a, but he's included. We're including that person also.
Thank you.
Sure. Question that's asked in the chat, what caused Bnei Israel to be Tomei? I don't recall exactly whether it was those that died in the plague of Choshech or other different circumstances where there were people who became Tomei Meis. You could take a look in Rashi probably over there where Rashi points out that the people who said Anachnu Tomei, you know, that there it might point out exactly what it was.
Rabbi, good morning. So in a way, it was, they were innocent from that tumah. One might think that if he's tameh because of his deeds, this teaching might not apply to him. What can we say about that?
That's why Rav Nosson Zal makes it perfectly clear that again, why is this in the Torah? The Torah is not a storybook or a history book. The word Torah means Torah, to teach. Something that's presented in the Torah is a message for us. And Rav Nosson Zal is the one who's clarifying the message, you know, who's showing us that this portion of the Torah is for you and for me, for us to know that when we are Tameh, when we realize that we're Tameh or Bederech Rechoika, we're far from Hashem, that does not justify giving up, quitting the game. Just fight to know, I want to get in. I can still get in. I'm getting off to a late start, but I can still be included.
Thank you.
Now we come to the fourth halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know when he was asked, and he had to consult with Hashem. The din benois tzlofchad, the halacha regarding the daughters of tzlofchad who came with a complaint. Just because our father didn't have any sons, all of his possessions are going to go to strangers, to other people? We're daughters. We also are family members. Sheshalu chelik ba'aretz. They came requesting a portion in the land of Eretz Yisrael, their father's portion. Ze bechinas knisa le'eretz Yisrael. This corresponds to the entering into Eretz Yisrael. We said upon entering Eretz Yisrael, the Jews were commanded to perform these three mitzvahs: to eradicate Amalek, to appoint a king, and build a Beis HaMikdash. So we pointed out three cases so far, which corresponded to those three mitzvahs. Now the fourth item corresponds to the actual entering into Eretz Yisrael, because this was their issue. Sheshom tzrichen lekayim sholosh mitzvos hanal. It's there in Eretz Yisrael that the Jews needed to fulfill those three mitzvahs. Sheklulim bitmunas aleph, which are included in the picture of the Aleph, Shehin Bechinas Sholosh Dinim Hanal, which are the three laws that we've discussed just now, Shel Mekoshesh Umekalel Vidin Pesach Sheni. V'zeh Shomru Rabbi Senuzal, and this is why the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Shebenois Tzlofchod Shoalu Bechachma, that these five daughters of Tzlofchod came with a winning argument. They came with a very intelligent presentation. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Im ein onu chashuvim zera, if you want to say that we are not considered valid children to be able to inherit our father's portion in Eretz Yisrael, tisyabe mimenu, then our mother should have to go through a yibum process. We know that when a person dies without having had any children, there's a mitzvah for the brother of that person to marry the dead brother's wife, the widow, in order to bring a child into the world to, to uphold the name of the brother that died. So if we don't count, then our mother should have to go through Yibum. Ki ikar soid ha-yibum nimshach mebechinas ho-aveidos hanav. Because the secret behind this mitzvah of Yibum is related to our whole topic in this halacha, which is this issue of lost souls, lost holy sparks. Because a person who dies, chas v'shalom, without having brought children into the world, that person needs an additional tikun, that their soul should not be completely lost. If a person has children, their soul is being perpetuated in their children. Person leaves the world without having had any children, then chas v'shalom, it seems as if their soul goes lost, terminated. As it says clearly in the Torah, that why should there be Yibum? So that this dead person's name shouldn't be erased from the Jewish nation. Gone. No zecher, no remembrance of them at all. Because this physical world that we are in corresponds to the lower part of the Aleph. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, V'ho'oretz hadoim ragloi. The earth is my footstool. Hamuva Baturna, which Rabbein Ezra brings this pasuk over there in chapter 6. V'ho'odom bo lo'olam kedei lekasher ze ho'olam shubechinas nekuda tachtoina la'nekuda al'yoina. And we have been sent down to this world. Our mission is to connect this world, the lower part of the Aleph, to Hashem, to the upper world. That's the whole concept of searching for and finding all of those lost souls, those lost holy sparks, and elevating them, connecting them, reconnecting them to holiness. And this is one of the main reasons why a person must see to it to have children and to leave behind children after they leave the world. Because it's impossible to accomplish this tikkun of connecting lower world and upper world and everything related to it in one generation. We know the Torah says, Doer ledoer yeshabach masecho, ledoer vador nagid godlecho. One generation to the next generation will pass the torch. There are many places in the Torah where it emphasizes that it has to be this way. It had to be that Klal Yisrael has to go through many generations in order to complete the tikkun. Al-Kain, Tzurichin Lohoniach Bonim Bazeh Ho'ilam. Therefore, a person is supposed to try to leave behind children in the world. Kidei Sheheim Yigmeru Zeh Tikkun Midoer Ledoer. So that they will continue and complete this tikkun from generation to generation. There'll be a continuity. One generation to the next generation will praise Hashem's actions. The word yeshabach means to praise, and the word yeshabach also means will improve. Ma'asecho daiko. Rav Nosson Zal says, note the word ma'asecho shehim bechinas nekuda tachtoina. This refers to that lower part of the Aleph. Shemelubeshes ba'asiyo gashmiyos shebazeh ho'olam asiyah, which is connected to and cloaked in physical action, which is accomplished in this physical materialistic world. Val yedei hashevach shemishabchenes Hashem yizborach sheborach ha'leila, and through the praise that we praise Hashem who created all of this, al yedei zeh malin ho'asiyah. By this, we elevate this physical world, this materialism, this olam ha'asiyah, b'chinas nekuda tachtoina, le'nekuda al-yoina. We elevate it and connect it to that upper nekuda. Shezehu b'chinas kol avoidas hatfila v'shirois v'tishbochoi sh'omer b'chol yoim. This is what all of our prayers and all the praises of Hashem that we recite every day are all about. V'zeh tzrichin b'chol doer v'doer. And this is necessary, this is required to be done in every single generation. Bechinas doer ledoer yeshabach masecho. And this is also what the Pasuk says, malchuscha malchus kol olamim umemshaltecha bechol dor vador. Hashem, your kingdom spans all of the worlds, and your kingdom extends from generation to generation. Soymech Hashem lechol hanoiflim. Hashem gives support and lifts up all those that are fallen. What's the connection here? Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us the connection. Malchus u'memshala zebechinas nekuda tachtoino keyedua. Kingdom, the attribute of kingdom, represents something down, far down. In the range of Hashem's attributes, Malchus is the bottom one, number 10, all the way on bottom. Hainu shashim yisporach berachamov mamshich hisgalus malchusoy memshaltoy bechol dor vador. Hashem, with his infinite kindness, reveals his kingdom throughout each and every generation. V'hakoil, and what is it really all for? B'shvil lismoich ulahalois kol hanoiflim vanidochim vanevodim. In order to lend support and help raise all those that are fallen, all those that are lost, all those that are distant. This goes back to what we spoke about much earlier in this halacha about finding those lost articles. This is the connection between these two psukim, that Hashem gives support and raises all the fallen ones, and his kingdom is in all the worlds. And his kingdom extends from generation to generation. Rav Nosson Zal says, "V'sim libcha heitev l'chol dibur v'dibur midvareinu." Pay close attention to every word that we're saying here now. Echakol mevur b'psukim hanal. How everything we've been discussing in this halacha is expressed in these psukim. Ki malchusa yisporach malchus kol olamim. Hashem's kingdom ranges all of the worlds. Lemala, lemala, to the highest, highest place. What's the highest place? Keser. What is keser? A crown. What is a crown? It's kingdom. A king wears a crown. Ulemata, ulemata. And Hashem's kingdom extends all the way down, down to the lowest places. The pasuk says, Umalchusoi bakoil mashallah. Hashem's kingdom goes everywhere, everywhere, even into the lowest places. Umemshaltoi bechol dor vador, and his kingdom extends throughout all the generations. Ki hu mekayim kol dor vador b'shvil hatzadikim shebedor. Hashem continues to allow every generation to exist and to function because of its tzadikim of the generation shemamshichim b'chochmosam he'oras hatshuva boilam, who are zeicha through their great wisdom and all of their efforts to draw tshuva into the world, lismoich es kol hanoiflem v'rachoikim, to give support and help all those who have fallen and all those that are distant. B'chinas soymeich Hashem l'chol hanoiflem. That's what the kingdom is really all about. That's what the malchus is really all about. We know there's a pasuk, b'roiv om hadras melech. The larger the nation, the more beautiful the kingdom. So kingdom is dependent on many. Each additional person that's brought into the fold increases, that gives meaning to the kingdom. That's why when a person passes away, when a person dies, we say Kaddish. What is Kaddish? Yisgadal v'yisgadash shemei rabo. May the great name of Hashem be elevated, increased. What does that have to do with a person dying? Because this person that died, we just lost a member. Hashem just became a smaller king. Before he was a king over 50 people, and now he's king only over 49. His kingdom dropped, chas v'shalom. We want to restore that. We want to reset the kingdom of Hashem by adding this additional praise, by crowning Hashem, by mentioning the name of Hashem is the Malchus. Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusoi Le'olam Vo'ed. Ki kol elu ha-psukim mikushorim lamala. Because all of these psukim, Malchus ha-Malchus ke'olamim, are connected to what it says before that. Shemesaper meroiv tuvoi v'chazdo yisborach. The earlier psukim in Ashrei speak about Hashem's goodness and kindness. It says, Zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu V'tzidkoscha Yiraneinu Chanun V'rachom Hashem Erech Hapayim Ugdol Chosed Toiv Hashem Lakoil Yoiduch Hashem Kol Masecha Zecher Rechucha. All of those psukim before that, we were singing the praises of Hashem. Ki ho'ikar heim ha'chasidim ho'amitiyim. Because the most important thing is the true chasidim, sheheim moidim elokusai boilam, who broadcast and proclaim the divine presence of Hashem to the world. Umekashrin kol hamadregois hatachtoinois ma'oi l'sharoshim elyon. And they connect all of the lowest places, the lowest people, to their source above. The chasidim who are found in all kinds of distant places. All kind, you know, we know Chabad, for example, puts shlichim in all kinds of places where you'd think there's no Jew. Maybe there's 1.5 Jews there who don't even know they're Jews, and yet there's a mission to reach out, to spread out to wherever Jews are, to be able to reach and those Jews specifically, and make sure that they're connected also to bring them in. Shezel bechinas kevoid malchuscho yomeru ugvurascho yedaberu. It's the honor of Hashem's kingdom that they speak, and they speak about Hashem's greatness. To enlighten all of mankind about the greatness of Hashem and his kingdom. That how are we really accomplishing this? By giving support to the fallen ones, to the distant ones. Shekol ze mekusher laposuk v'chasidecha yevorchucha. All of this is connected to a previous pasuk where it says your chasidim will bless you. Kama shapirash Rashi Shom, as Rashi HaKadosh points out over there in Ashrei, in that chapter of Tehillim, Ayin Shom. V'alkein mekablim habonim achrov hayerusha. And this is why a person's children receive their inheritance when the person passes away. Sheheim kol nachlosoi. This refers to all of the person's real estate, their portion in Eretz Yisrael, v'chafotzov, and all the possessions, shehoyeloi bozeolam, which the person had while they were living in this world. Ki nachlosoi v'chafotzov shehoyeloi bozeolam, heim chelkoi shehoyeloi bozeolam asiya. Because the person's properties and the person's possessions are what they acquired, what they had in this physical, materialistic world. Shu b'chinas nekuda tachtoina, which is that bottom part of the Aleph. Shohaya tzorich lekasher ulahalois elu hanachlois v'chafotzim lanekuda elyoina, whereby the person who owned this house and this car and all of these things, their job was to connect all of these physical things to the nekuda elyoina. Yalkein kishemes, and therefore when this person passes away, mekablim bonov achrov hayerusha, his children who remain after him, they receive the inheritance, shehim chelkoi v'nachlosoi bozeh olam, which are his portion in this world, ki ato tzrichin shienas atikun al yodom, because now they have to continue this process. Now the tikun for that house and that car and that jewelry and that money and everything has to be continued via the children. And this is why the Bnei Slavchot came with a very intelligent argument. If we don't count as children, and therefore we don't receive any inheritance, because in the place in the Torah where it speaks about inheritance, it doesn't mention girls, it only mentions boys. And we do not have the power to receive the inheritance of our father in order to continue to connect the lower nekuda to the upper nekuda by us having it and using it. Imkain, if that's the case, tisyabe mimenu, then our mother should have to go through the process of yibum. Shehi besoid tikun hu avedos kanal, which is on a spiritual level. That's the secret of the tikkun for these lost souls, these lost, our father, by having passed away without having any children, he's lost. He's finished, chas v'shalom. Shekishe'en meniach zera, shiyekabel nachlosa, v'yikmar ha'tikkun anal, meaning that if a person does not leave behind children who will receive his possessions, v'yikmar ha'tikkun anal, and will continue to complete that tikkun, l'kasher nekuda tachton v'kla yoyna, to connect the lower nekuda to the upper, to connect the possessions of this world to Hashem, to upper, srichen tikkun ha'yibun kanal. Then the tikkun of yibun should be required. V'alkein shoalu kahoygen b'chochma gedoyla. And therefore, their question, their argument, was a very good one, very, very intelligent. K'mo Hashem Rav says, as the Gemara points out in Baba Basra, V'alkein zochu shenizgalgel z'chus al yodam. And therefore, again, they had this incredible privilege that in their merit, shenizgale parshas nachlois l'moish al yodam, that a whole portion in the Torah was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu of exactly how the laws of inheritance should work. If there are no sons, what happens then? And if there are no daughters, what happens then? That whole chain of events was given to Moshe Rabbeinu after these women came with a claim. Why should we be left out? Why should we be, we also count.
Could the Rav just do a quick summary in terms of these four different nekudos that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot, and kind of what's the flow and the connection between the four that we've done thus far?
We spoke about in chapter 6 in Likud Yomam, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the letter Aleph, which has three parts to it, an upper part, a middle part that's a connector, and a lower part. And Rabbeinu Zal said that those three parts of the Aleph correspond to a variety of things. It represents Moshe, Yehoshua, and the tent where they studied together, which connected them. It represents the sun and the moon and the sky, which connects them. It represents heaven and earth and the connection between them. It represented many things. And it also represents the three mitzvahs. It corresponds to the three mitzvahs that the Jews were given that we must accomplish upon entering Eretz Yisrael, which are eradicating Amalek, appointing a king, and building a Beis Hamikdash. And Rav Nosson Zal tried to show here how the three of those four halachas that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot or he didn't know corresponded to the three parts of the Aleph. The person who blasphemized Hashem, that's like Amalek. The upper part of the Aleph, which represents building the Beis Hamikdash, which represents tshuva, which is through which a person is zoche to that hidden kavod. That hidden kavod, that corresponds to the one who desecrated the Shabbos, because Shabbos represents that upper part of the Aleph, the secrets of Torah, which we study on Shabbos. And then Pesach Sheni represented the shame and embarrassment, which is the process that's needed by which a student is zoche to really connect to the rabbi, that the lower part connects to the upper part. That shame and embarrassment that these people acknowledged that they were tamei, they were far from Hashem, and therefore they're almost disqualified, but we're not disqualified. There's got to be a solution for us also. They weren't in denial. They said clearly to Moshe Rabbeinu, just because we are tamei, or we were far away and therefore couldn't, therefore there's no chance. So those were the three parts of the Aleph. And then Rav Nosson Zal brought in this Benoy Slavchot, because those three mitzvahs are supposed to be accomplished upon entering Eretz Yisrael. And it's when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jews about the fact that upon entering Eretz Yisrael, each shevet will be given a portion. And again, if those people that died in the desert, their children, their sons will be given their portion naturally. And that's when these daughters came, because again, there were no sons. It was assumed at that point that the inheritance of Tzlofchad would go to whoever grabs it, or to anyone else, you know. And they came with a claim. And the solution was that they do receive inheritance. However, in order for the inheritance to remain in their shevet, they have to marry members from their shevet. And sure enough, the Torah says they did that and they lived happily ever after. So this was the connection to the chapter on Likut Imran, to the parts of the Aleph and everything.
I'm wondering if there's a theme going through this of not taking no for an answer. You know, we just had this week that you have to do everything the Baal Bais tells you except for say. And it seems, as you mentioned about Acher, you didn't have to say, he didn't have to accept it. Moshe didn't have to accept it. Slavcha didn't have to accept it. Pesach Sheni, we didn't have to accept it. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we see many times, doesn't necessarily accept it. And, you know, it's kind of like this Am K'shei Oref that there's, I'm just wondering out loud as we go through this, if there's something there, perhaps.
Most definitely. I have a close friend. His name is Bobby Rosenberg. His father, Zichron Levracha, was also a very good friend. And his father was a salesman. And he was a pretty good salesman. And his father used to say, the sale begins when the customer says no. When the customer says, I don't want it. You want to sell me a vacuum cleaner? I have six of them in my closet here and I don't know what to do with them. And that's when the salesman says, you're a perfect candidate for this vacuum cleaner that I have, because you're going to see that all the vacuum cleaners that you have, all six of them put together, can't do what this one can do, you know. And he was really good at what he did. So here again, when it comes to Hashem Kaviyochel, when it comes to the tzaddik, the sale begins when a person, when the Yetzirah is telling you, no, you can't do tshuva. You can't succeed in learning Torah. You can't do, you know, 100%. It's Zayin Adar, the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is exactly the next words in this halacha. And now we'll understand also why the Torah places the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu right after the story with the Benois Tzalofchad. As Rashi points out over there, that when Moshe Rabbeinu heard the response that Hashem gave regarding the Benois Tzalofchad, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that possibly the vow that Hashem had made, that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen would not enter into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu thought, hey, maybe that vow has been nullified. Me'achar she'tzivo lo'i Hashem Yisbarach lahanchil. Since Hashem had given Moshe Rabbeinu instructions as to exactly how Eretz Yisrael should be divided up. Omar lo'i HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But unfortunately, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Gzeirasi b'mekoyma oimedes." The decree that I made regarding you, regarding your not entering Eretz Yisrael, still stands in its place. Hainu kanal. This fits beautifully with what we spoke about earlier. Shemeyachar sherosh and esgalu loy kol elu harba halachis anal. Once Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Hashem had revealed to him all four of these laws, what to do in all four of these situations, to the point where Hashem even revealed to him what to do, how to accomplish, how to deal with these daughters of Tzalofchad, which was the last of these four, where we just showed that this fourth scenario corresponds to the entering into Eretz Yisrael. Kain sofar shehuter aneder. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu thought that the decree, the vow that Hashem had made, was released. Sheyichno is gam kain Eretz Yisrael, and that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, would also enter into Eretz Yisrael. V'yikuyam shom kol hasholish mitzvah sanal. And there, all three mitzvahs would be accomplished, eradicating Amalek, appointing a king. And Moshe Rabbeinu would draw upon Klal Yisrael this knowledge, kedei lesaken kol Yisrael lonetzach, in order to repair and make the eternal tikkun for Klal Yisrael. But Hashem responded to him, gzeirosi b'mekoymoy medes. Sorry, my decree still stands. Because even though Hashem did reveal to Moshe Rabbeinu the solution to these three problems, these three questions, afal pikein adayin efsher lahamshich lahoyer bishleimus elu halachos boilam. Still, Moshe Rabbeinu would not be able to complete the tikkun of these three items into the world, Shehin Bechinas Boki Barotzi Boki Beshoi, which is the concept of the upper part of the Aleph, the lower, the Aliyah and the Yiridah, knowing how to do a complete tshuva. Bechinas Im Esak Shomayim Shamato, Vatzia Shal Hineko, Lekarev Kol Harechoikim V'chol Hanoiflim Sheboilam Lashem Yisborach, to finish the job of bringing all those that are distant, all those that have fallen, you know, returning them to Hashem. Kol ze e efsher lahamshich takef b'shleimus. All of this cannot be achieved immediately, completely. V'alkein ha'hechrich shelo yichnois loretz. And therefore, it was critical that Moshe Rabbeinu should not enter in Eretz Yisrael. V'yistalek b'midbar im oisoi hador. And he would pass away in the desert, together with all those that passed away in the desert, v'yismoich es Yehoshua b'mkoymoi, and he would establish Yehoshua to replace him, to replace Moshe Rabbeinu, k'mo shekosuv shom b'parsha, as it says over there, kach luches Yehoshua, ki Yehoshua hu bechinas nekuda tachtoina, because Yehoshua represents that bottom part of the Aleph, u'moshe hu nekudo elyoina. And Moshe Rabbeinu represents the upper part of the Aleph. U'machmas ribui ha-pegomim. And unfortunately, because of all of the sins and all the mistakes and all the damage that was done by the Jews up until then, i'efsher she'toyer ha-nekudo ha-elyoina bi'atzma. It's impossible for that upper part of the Aleph, for Moshe Rabbeinu, to finish everything by himself, by itself. Umuchrach hatzadik lehistalek, and therefore the tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu has to pass away, lahashir achra bechinas Yehoshua, and to leave behind a Yehoshua, bechinas hatalmid, bechinas nekuda tachtoina, who corresponds to the lower part of the Aleph. V'chol horechoikim v'hakroivim, ho'oilem v'yordim, and all those that are far from Hashem, and all those that are close, all those that are in Aliyah and all those that are in Yeridah, tzrichin lekabel bechinas darkei hatshuva shemenas bechinas halacha aydei bechinas Yehoshua daika. We'll all have to receive this knowledge, this path of tshuva, this knowing how to go up and down through Yehoshua specifically. V'hakoil bekoichoi shel nekudo elyoina. However, where is this all really coming from? Where did Yehoshua get all of his knowledge and all of his power? From the upper part of the Aleph, Shubchinas Moshe, Shenistalek Lamalo Lamala. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he passed away, went higher and higher. V'nichlal betachlis nekudu elyoina. And Moshe Rabbeinu connected to the highest, highest place that nekudu elyoina can reach. The less machshava tfisa taman klal, where no human being can comprehend how high a place that is. Umishom meir liachar histalkusay daika, and it's from there that Moshe Rabbeinu sends light down after his passing. Alidei talmido, through his students, shem bechinas Yehoshua, bechinas nekuda tachtoina. Ki oz daika hu meir la'olam kuloi bechvoidoi, because it's then, after Moshe Rabbeinu has already passed away, that he reached a much higher place than he did during his lifetime. Then he's able to shine down to this world the full blast of light and able to shine it betachlis diyuta hatachtoina, to reach all the way down to the lowest, lowest places, lismoich es kol hanoiflim, to give support to all those fallen souls. V'limtzoi ulagbi es kol haveda shaboilam, and to find and elevate all the lost articles, all the lost souls and sparks in the world, lekarev kulam l'Hashem Yisborach, to bring them all close to Hashem. Remember, we quoted the Arizal in the past and the Gemara. The Gemara says, during Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime, he achieved 49 levels. V'techasreyu me'at me'lekim. He was missing a little bit from Elohim. Elohim is the 50th level. Moshe Rabbeinu, during his lifetime, achieved 49 levels. But the Arizal explains, but when he passed away, that's when he hit 50. That's why the Torah says he's buried on Har Nevo, Mount Nevo. What is Nevo? Nun Bol. The 50th was there. The 50th was achieved when he passed away. And the Arizal says that the word neshama, the word soul, is made up of two parts, Moshe Nun, that while he was in physical form, in a body, he couldn't achieve the 50th level. As a soul, when he stripped himself of the body, when he passed away, that's when he went higher and he hit that 50. And it's from there that he shines down into his students, into the Yehoshuas, to empower them to continue the tikkun and to complete the tikkun of those who are furthest away, those in our generation who are so far away, all of these lost souls and lost holy sparks, to be able to bring them back. Look at the amazing, amazing hashkocha, that this is what this is, the shiur that Rav Nosson Zal is giving on Zion Ador Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit. Any questions, please?
We apply this to Rabbeinu also?
Definitely. Rav Nosson Zal was definitely hinting here to the fact that Rabbi Nachman passed away. And yet Rabbi Nachman said, Gomarti Vegmar, I have completed and I will complete. 1 minute, that's a contradiction. Gomarti, I finished, Vegmar, and I will finish. Well, what does that mean? Gomarti, I did everything I could possibly do in physical form while I was here in this world. But it's not finished. Moshiach is not here yet. Vegmar, I will complete. What do you mean I will complete? From there, I'll be in a better position to help my students to be able to finish the job. This is taking us into Parsha Zohar. Tomorrow we're going to read about Zohar eradicating Amalek, and this is taking us into Purim. Halavai, Purim is referred to as the Keser, Megillas Esther. We should be zeichet to see the complete and final eradication of Amalek, of all those that need to be eliminated completely, and all those that need a tikkun. We should be zeichet to receive our tikkun via the great tzaddikim, via Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, via all of them. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Ashreinu.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rav Nosson.
Amen. Thank you, Rav Nosson. Good Erev Shabbos.
Good Erev Shabbos. Shkoyach.
Thank you so much. Good Shabbos. Are you and everybody?
Thank you, Rabbi. Amazing shiur. Shabbat shalom. All the best.